Welcome to another week. See you at the show. We've got some exciting current theater activity in the Central Illinois area. So we are excited to be bringing fresh content instead of rehashing stuff that happened in 2019 or bemoaning the fact that we don't have current stuff to talk about.
Right.
So we're lucky you found this one, right?
Right, I found it, but you jumped on it and contacted the Red Mask Players in Danville. And so we have a couple people here with us today, and we didn't contact them quick enough to get interviewed before their opening night, but they still have shows left.
Right, so the Red Mask Players is putting on Fahrenheit 451, which is a Ray Bradbury play, actually book turned into play, that is now open. We've had three of their six shows at the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville. Today we are joined by the director, who I guess also makes a little cameo in the show, Mac Waits, and Mildred Montag, who is performing, or is performed by Bailey Maskell. Welcome to see you at the show, Mac and Bailey.
Thank you, it's great to be here.
Thank you.
So Mac, you are have the distinguished situation of being the first person to direct a show in Central Illinois in the COVID era. So congratulations, you're doing it. Tell us a little bit about your history as a director. Have you directed much in the past?
No, actually, this is the first one. I've been in many shows, but this is the first to direct.
Wow, and you guys had started your rehearsals and were about to perform. You were going into Tech Week when the pandemic hit.
Yeah, we were so very, very close, and then they shut us down for, well, they didn't completely shut us down, they postponed it. And so I told everybody to keep up with their lines, you know, and since we couldn't actually rehearse in the space, and they did a pretty good job, but we ended up having to recast the show three separate times after we were able to come back and start rehearsing again. So it was definitely an interesting journey that nobody else has really had to deal with.
Right. Well, it looks like there are about 13 characters, if you include your appearance as Tolstoy. So how many of the characters would you say were in the original, or how many of these actors were from the original cast?
Oh, let's see, Montag, Brandon Moore, Bailey here was an original. One of the paramedics, Tyler, he was an original. And I'm thinking that's it. Bailey, is that it?
I think Aristotle, Gay Gardner.
Oh, Gay Gardner. Yes, she was also an original.
Wow.
So you really totally recast it on, you know, it's for all intents and purposes. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So did you rehearse over Zoom? Did you rehearse in person?
During the break, no, we just kind of left it to the actors to do it on their own, to read over their lines and whatnot, the ones that we had left anyway. And once we were able to get back to it, we had to hold auditions again for the parts that we were missing. And even that didn't work. We still had to scramble around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to find different characters and or different actors, and we still couldn't find everybody, which is why I had to step in for Tolstoy. I really didn't want to. I just wanted to, I don't want to be on the stage this time. I just want to be on the other side, watch it, but that wasn't how it happened. So,
well, let's take a step back and why don't you help us and introduce ourselves and our listeners to the Red Mask Players. It's one of, I think there are three theater companies in Danville that we're aware of. We've covered stuff for DLO before. We were interested in what...
we talked about Dark Horse.
Dark Horse Theater was trying to do Evil Dead out at Kickapoo, and they got shut down with COVID issues on their cast just 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so Red Mask is, I think, maybe the longest standing theater company in in Danville. And how long have you been a part of it? And what can you tell us about Red Mask?
I've been a part of it for about 6 years now. And it's a great place to go and act for it. It's a smaller cast. All the plays are typically smaller casts. So I've had several plays with DLO, and the comparison between the two is just night and day, with the small cast for Red Mask and the huge cast that they have for DLO. It's so chaotic. I love DLO, but it's so chaotic. And then you go to Red Mask and it's just very calm in comparison for the most part. You know, you don't have to run around and all of that quite so much. It's a little bit more paced and less chaotic than DLO.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know how familiar you are with the Champaign-Urbana theater scene, but there's our setup very much the same way. Linda and I have probably been most closely affiliated in the last couple of years with Station Theater. And there it's got a capacity of about 60 and does very small intimate shows. And then we've got big theater companies like Champaign-Urbana Theater Company that usually just does a couple shows a year, and they're all giant cast, big thing. So I think we were both smiling knowing what you're talking about and what the pros and cons are of each. And that's interesting. So the Catherine Randolph Theater from the outside looks like a mini castle. Is it a unique space on the inside also?
Yeah, I would say so. The way everything is set up, it's definitely different than most of the theaters that I've been to or seen.
Is that where Red Mask does all of its performances?
Yes.
And who else uses this? Does anybody else use the space, or is it exclusively yours?
No, it's exclusively Red Mask, as far as I know. I've never known anybody else to use it. The other two production companies have their own spaces, so. Mm-hmm.
And what is your normal capacity when COVID is not a thing?
Oh, I'm terrible with numbers.
Okay.
I want to say, and I could be completely wrong, but I want to say between 100 and 120.
Oh, wow. But you're keeping the audience to 25?
Yes.
Okay. To keep everybody safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got rows blocked off, and you can't sit in the front row by the stage, and there's quite a few regulations that they've got going for the show right now.
Are there still tickets available?
Yes, there are still tickets available. I haven't heard anything on the ticket count for this coming weekend, but last weekend we sold out one night and almost sold out the other two nights. So the tickets are going pretty quickly as far as the 25 are concerned.
Okay, well, we're talking with director Mac Waits and actress Bailey Maskell about Fahrenheit 451, which has a second week of shows this Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m., and then a Sunday matinee at 2. It's at the Catherine Randolph Theater in Danville. And let's see.
Well, Bailey hasn't talked for a little while, so can we get Bailey to jump in?
I was just being so good about, you know, we've just been talking about, we have to do mid-show recaps because people are driving home.
He actually listened to me. I told him.
And then I get jumped on for talking to Bailey.
I'm so glad you did. I was just using that as a segue.
Okay, well, you can silently segue.
So Bailey, what is it like? I know you were part of the original cast, and so how has this been different because of COVID? You know, you're rehearsing, or how is it different having 25 people in the audience instead of 100?
So since she hasn't talked, you ask her 18 questions at once?
Yeah, so okay. She can talk for a while.
Well, I guess it's hard to really, for me, this is my very first show. And I really, I can't say compared to a non-pandemic play versus what we're going through right now, but it's still been really great. The relationships are very close with all of the cast members, which makes it so much more fun having to do this while still working, while still being busy and maintaining a schedule. But it's been so good to come, and everyone's in such a good mood. We're always helping each other out. And even though the audience is small, you know, they're still very willing to interact with us. If we say something funny, we normally get a laugh or two, and that always makes me feel like I'm doing a great job with my character.
Were you familiar at all with Fahrenheit before the show?
You know what? A few years ago when they had announced that they were going to do Fahrenheit 451 for the spring show, I had always wanted to read the book. And I told myself, well, I've got time. I will read the book and I'll be familiar with it. So when I go out for this play, I'll have an idea of what I'm doing. And I just never got to it. I always wanted to, because this was a very favorite book of one of my English teachers in high school. And so I always wanted to read the book, always wanted to do something. And I never got around to it, but I kept telling myself, I'm gonna go out for it. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get myself out there and start somewhere. And I'm very glad that I did.
And so, Mac, what was your journey to finding this show? Did you propose doing it, or was it kind of offered to you?
Well, actually, it was a little bit of both. They had nobody else to do the show. And when I realized that there was no director, I jumped on it. And so there we go. It was one of my favorite books since I read it, and I realized that there was no director, and I was like, well, they can't have a show without a director, and I would rather have the show go on and not me not be on stage than it not happen at all. So I jumped on the chance to direct it and kind of show how I felt about it when I read the book through the play, kind of how it came across to me.
Are there a lot of differences between the play? I've read the book and I've seen part of the movie, but I don't know if there's a big difference between the book and the play.
There are a few differences. I don't want to get into much of the differences for the people that haven't either seen or read the book. Mm-hmm. But there are a few differences. There's some differences that I like more in the play than I do in the book, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But he actually sticks pretty close to the book in the play.
Oh, nice.
I assume that it wasn't Bradbury who converted it from a book to a play. Was it somebody
else? Yes, it is. No, it was Bradbury. He wanted to do it. He converted it over, and that's why it's so close to the book. And he just changed a few little details here and there to better fit the stage play than the novel.
And what is the time frame that you set this thing in? Is it just like a dystopian future, or is it kind of have a feeling of the past, like when it was written?
No, it's a dystopian future. They don't actually specify a year, but with the technology that they describe throughout, you know that it's set further in the future.
What age range would you say it's appropriate for? Because I know this is kind of a hard topic for some people. Like, is it okay for kids to come?
If the parents don't mind a little bit of language, it really depends on the child. It depends on the maturity of the child. Really, there's a lot of monologues. And what they talk about in the monologue, some kids may not be able to keep up with. Mm-hmm. So while there's not a whole lot of violence, so to speak, it might be hard for some of the younger kids to pay attention and understand and comprehend what is being said.
Are there any technical difficulties that you had putting on stage? Do you ever actually light anything on fire, or is there?
Now, well, I know that you give credit to Route One Robotics. Is that anything you can tell us about, or is that part of the spoiler?
Well, they made us the Hound. And yeah. if anybody knows anything about the book, then they would know exactly what the Hound is. And if they don't, then I hope they come and see what we've got. But they made a great robot. It moves on its own. It goes forward and backwards and side to side and diagonal, and the body of the robot itself will go up and down. The head moves independently of the body, and it's really awesome. They did a great job with that robot.
I feel like you need to use that again somewhere in another show or something, because that sounds incredible.
Yeah, I heard from people who have seen the show that is really spectacular.
They did a great job.
Prop. So do you actually have to have somebody from the robotics company there operating it, or did they turn over the operation to you?
No, we have two members of the team that come and operate it. Nobody on the cast has any idea how to use it at all. They do it all on their own. They control it completely.
So one of the things I guess that we're curious about is, we talked a little bit about how COVID obviously interrupted your show and postponed it, but how have you been able to rehearse in person? What sort of protocols have you had in place for the cast?
Well, back in the green room, most everybody wears a mask. It's not required, but most people do it anyway. On stage, also, they can wear a mask if they want to, but it's really hard for the actors to go off of each other when half their face is covered. So most of them don't wear a mask on stage, and they don't wear a mask on stage during the show itself. But some of them wanted to utilize the mask on stage, and that was totally their prerogative. And as far as the theater itself, we go before every rehearsal, and it's sanitized thoroughly. It's sanitized before every show. And, you know, we've been taking every precaution that we possibly can for it.
I don't know what your testing abilities are for COVID in Danville. Does everybody get tested, or have you relied on that at all?
Actually, some of the cast has been tested. Some of the cast has come out positive and had to miss that 2 weeks worth of rehearsal. And some of us that felt sick, we had to, even if, you know, it wasn't a major kind of sickness, we had to go get tested just for precautionary. So if anybody got a cough for the sniffles or anything like that, we had to go and get tested just to be on the safe side. We do temperature checks. That's right. Yeah, we do temperature checks every time somebody comes in. We check temperatures and whatnot.
And is that part of the audience protocol also? Do you know, do they get temperature checks as they enter?
Yes, I'm being told they do.
Okay.
Do they keep their masks on, the audience, or?
They do, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. There was an outdoor show. We went to an outdoor musical in Peoria, was how far we had to go it's the only other show we've seen in COVID, and that was a musical outside in Peoria, where I guess we felt pretty comfortable with the distancing setup.
As an audience member.
As an audience member, yeah. That was a much more complicated thing with like 40 plus people in the cast. You can't really keep them apart, and they're not doing any more shows. but Red Mask is planning on doing more shows. I just saw before we came on that there are two shows announced. The Red Lamp and You Are Perfect. Do you know, have those been cast, or have auditions been set for either of those yet?
I honestly have no, I know they haven't been cast yet. I don't know about auditions for the next show after 451. I haven't actually, the last time I looked, it hadn't been put up there yet. So I have no idea about the future shows yet.
Yeah, I think the website doesn't even yet have them up, but I did kind of go through some posts to see what's been going on with Red Mask, and I saw those. And I'm not familiar with either of those shows. Are they Are they probably plays? Is that what Red Mask sticks to pretty much over musicals?
Yes, yes. Red Mask is strictly non-musicals, and DLO is strictly musicals. And I think Dark Horse does a little bit of both.
And it seems as though the general season is 3 adult shows and 2 children's shows. Are the children's shows typically in the summer?
Yes, the children's shows are in the summer.
Yeah, but meanwhile, best of luck to Fahrenheit 451 in your final week. And thank you for coming on See You at the Show.
All right, well, thank you for having us.
You bet. All right, putting a wrap on Fahrenheit 451, I'm now joined via Zoom by a local actor who I last saw at the Monticello Theater in a performance of Witness for the Prosecution, John Howard. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing great, Eric. Thanks for inviting me on.
You bet. It's good to meet you again. I really enjoyed your turn as John Mayhew in Witness for the Prosecution. So congratulations in hindsight on a great job with that show.
It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to my next show, when and if this COVID is ever over.
So Witness for the Prosecution was in September of last year. So that's been almost 14 months. Is that the last show you were in, or did you have a chance to act again?
I probably did a half dozen murder mysteries with the Seven Corpse Dinner Group.
Oh, great.
Which is a lot of fun as well. And it gives you a chance to scratch your acting itch without having to do 6 weeks of rehearsals first. So, but other than that, I haven't done a show, and I won't do a show, I would say, until we have a vaccine and this is pretty well under control.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I had you come on, because I know that you did make your way over to Danville to see Fahrenheit 451 on their opening weekend. I believe you saw it, was that the second night on Saturday night?
That's correct, yep.
So you said that you wouldn't be in a show, but apparently you were not deterred from seeing a show. What did you think from a COVID standpoint about being an audience member in an indoor performance of a play?
Well, I tell you, it was a close thing before we decided to go to it. We wanted to check out really carefully what kind of precautions they were following. And I thought they did a good job with the COVID-19 precautions. Looked like they limited the audience to 25, which is, you know, tough for the actors, but it was great for social distancing. The seats were very socially distanced, which was great. I've had to learn about COVID-19, protocols for my job. So I know that they followed really pretty much all the rules. One quibble I had, I would have liked them to have asked the audience to stay masked during the entire show. We weren't talking, we weren't eating. There was no reason for us to take our masks off. Michaela and I both kept our masks on during the show, as did a few other people. But I think I would have liked that to have been the expectation rather than just an idea.
Yeah, I was surprised when I read through what they have online, and you can see it on their website, as on their Facebook page also, what their precautions are. And I thought they all looked good, but I was surprised it said, please wear your mask until you get seated, and then it's fine. I guess that's kind of the restaurant theory. However, in a restaurant, to actually do the reason you came there for, you have to uncover your mouth.
Exactly. I think it was a little bit of a mistake there. It came, you know, just this close to me deciding not to go to the show because of that reason. We ended up, because it seemed like we could really socially distance well, we ended up deciding to do it. But, it's tough. It's tough to make those decisions these days. And to me, I always err on the side of caution.
And so how did they have the audience, or how did they have the seats blocked off? Did they use tape or rope, or how did they signify where you could sit?
I don't remember, other than that it was pretty obvious which seats were open and which seats weren't. I don't remember what practical thing they did.
Okay. Had you been to that theater before?
No, it's a neat old theater, and I would go back there again, you know, especially post-COVID. I'd like to see more shows there. It was fun being in some place that was that old. Mm-hmm. You feel like there have been a whole lot of entertaining things that have happened over the years in a venue like that.
Yeah, I believe they're something like in their 80th year of doing shows there. And from the outside, the kind of the castle-like appearance of the building would look pretty spectacular. And I had a chance earlier in the show, I was just speaking with the director and an actor of Fahrenheit 451. It was the director's debut show. What did you think of the play?
I thought the actors did a solid job. Didn't love the script very much. I've actually read the book Fahrenheit 451, and I have to say, if I hadn't read the book first, I would have been totally lost in the script, I think. I think the actors did a really good job given the material they were working with, and it's a great play with really great themes.
It was written in the past, set in the dystopian future, and so how did it feel today? Did it feel contemporary, or did it feel like what maybe a contemporary look at a dystopian future still might be?
It was kind of a combination of the two things. Some of the themes about the current media, not the media people, but just the constant use of television and things, encouraging people not to think, the loss of people thinking deeply, or really deeping into things, I felt had a lot of really interesting parallels to our current situation. So it felt very fresh that way. But there were certain technologies and other things that they referenced that felt, you know, you could tell it basically tell the source material was quite old.
Right. And was it sold out for the 25 people that were there? Could you tell?
It was either sold out or very close to it. Yeah.
Okay. And with that sort of a crowd, did you feel that, could you sense anything about whether the actors were able to feed on any crowd energy with a crowd that small?
Well, it's always different in a drama than it is in a comedy, you know, where you're so dependent on the laughter to help move things along. I didn't feel like the actors were hurt by the small audience. I felt like their performances didn't seem to be affected negatively by it.
Did any of the characters or the roles stand out for you as being especially strong?
Yeah, I had two that I really enjoyed. I had two human actors that I really enjoyed. Okay. I really enjoyed Jeff Romig, who played Captain Beatty. He had some really great personality in how he did the role. He was stuck with these really long monologues that he managed really well. Again, with the script, I would have made him shorter.
Okay.
But man, he hit every word and never felt like he was stumbling. It was an impressive thing, because some of those monologues went on a long time. And he really had a great personality to him. And then I really enjoyed, what was her name? I wrote it down here. I really enjoyed Isabel Brewitt as Clarice McClellan. She is a key character, not a huge part on screen time wise, but she's a key character in triggering the lead, Guy Montag's change of mind. And I felt like she had a real ethereal performance that was a lot of fun to watch.
Now she's a youngster, right? I think she's just a high school performer. Did you look that up in her?
I didn't look it up. It seems like that'd be about right.
Yeah. She was actually going to be a guest on the show and wasn't able to make it. So I regret not being able to have spoken with her, especially not hearing that her performance was that strong. Now, I did get to hear from the director a little bit about the special effects star. So what did you think of the robotics and the dog?
Okay, so can we just take a minute to recognize the Route 1 Robotics Club for hitting it out of the ballpark? Wow. With their remote control robotic hound. I mean, that thing was crazy. It was actually acting on stage. It came on, it hit every mark. When an actor would speak to it, it would turn to look at the actor. And if the actor was tall, it would raise its head.
I was
floored by how good the robotic hound was for a small community theater production. And, you can't even call it a prop. It was an actor. And the funny thing was that the first thing I did when I got out to the car was to go through the program and find out who it was, and they didn't even make the program.
Wow.
I had to look it up online.
Well, that's great. I have heard great things about it. I wonder what they will do with that great beast after the show is over, but maybe a reason to drive and make the trip over to Danville to the Catherine Randolph Theater just to see the special effects dog. So Fahrenheit 451 is going to wrap up this weekend with three more performances, Friday night and Saturday night at 7:30. And Sunday, they have a 2 p.m. matinee. And that's the Red Mask Players, Fahrenheit 451. John, thanks a lot for joining us on See You at the Show. I really appreciate your perspective, and I'd love to have you back on sometime.
All right. It'd be my pleasure. Thanks.
All right. Nice talking to you, John. And this is See You at the Show. We'll see you next week with some more new live content, with hopefully exploring other theater opportunities, and theaters willing to take a chance and continue to make art in these difficult times. This has been Eric Schacht with Linda Evans.